ministry tonight. Brother Terry's going to preach for us. He doesn't get enough opportunity. He's working a lot, and Wednesday nights are almost out of the picture. Sometimes he's late getting to church, but he gets here. And so I said, hey, get one ready for Sunday night, okay? And I'm anxious to hear him. He's doing a great job. He does better and better every time he preaches. And you know, the Lord's called him. He has a message on his heart. I said, just preach from your heart, man. So you pray for him, okay, while he preaches tonight, Brother Terry.
Thank you, Pastor. Good evening. Wanted to reiterate what Pastor said this morning. He said that Christians are responsible for some of the things that are going on today in the nation. And I agree. I feel like Christians have fell asleep at the wheel, so to speak, through the years. And now we're trying to play catch up. And it's hard. Christians have been asleep for so long. History seems to repeat itself here in America. And tonight I'm going to talk about some history that kind of shaped where we are now. Some history that maybe the nation is not proud of, but it needs to be said. Some things coming from the Bible, there's a lot of history. And since we moved on from that history, we see this at the forefront again. So Christians have fallen asleep. So if you'll please stand for the reading of the word, we're going to be in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And it says, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness or partying, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for just being in your house, Father. Father God, I want to thank you for being in a free nation. Thank you, God, for our troops that are serving all over the world. Thank you for our law enforcement, firefighters, people who protect and serve. Thank you, Father, for the faithful few that are here tonight. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that we may hear from you tonight. In your precious name I pray. Amen. The title of this message is called, While Christians Were Sleeping. Now, there's a TV show called While You Were Out. I'm pretty sure you guys have seen it before. You have designers, carpenters, and landscapers are brought into an unexpected homeowner's house while they were out to redecorate, to reinvent all sorts of living spaces. There's an accomplice that keeps the other guests out of the house while the work is done and finds out all sorts of information on their likes and dislikes to have a chance to win extra luxuries for their new space. And it's called While You're Out. Now, in this verse, Romans, Paul is using the day and night metaphor here. He switches between night and day. And basically saying that the night is the period of time of that we're living in the darkness of Satan's rule over the earth, where there's false religions, there's false teaching. The nation has spent so much time living in the dark. There's only so much time to get prepared. And so Christians have fell asleep. And so I'm going to go through some things of history that Christians has actually fell asleep on. Do you know in 2019 that there are 1,200 mosques in the U.S.? No protesting. Right? No protesting. By 2020, they said that Islam will be the second to largest religion in America by 2040. That's only 20 years from now. And that's research, and you can go on the web and search it, by 2020. So while we're worried about other things, about COVID-19, there are mosques being built every year. The enemy's already here. So Christians have fell asleep. Why? Christ knew that we would fall asleep. So he put these verses in here because he knew what would happen. Like kids going on to college and parents telling the kids, hey, study. Make sure you study. Make sure you're not out partying, right? We're paying for your school. You got to get it done. The time is near and you have to get it done. So we're going to talk about some people that shaped the world. Her name is Madeline Murray O'Hare. I'm going to call her Mo. If you've been around African Americans long enough, you know we got to give a nickname to everybody we meet, right? Or that we talk about. So Mo. Her name is Madeline Murray O'Hare. She filed numerous lawsuits in which she argued that the separation of church and state had been breached. Murray versus Curley. In 1963, she challenged Bible reading and prayer and recitation at a Maryland public school. Where was the Christians then? Where was the protest? That, if you're sleeping, if you hear an unfamiliar sound that is not Christian, you will give somebody a nudge. I'm just going to nudge Pastor. You nudge a Christian, say, hey, wake up. You see this? The word of God has been taken out of school. No Christian protested. Nobody said anything. They just kept on sleeping. All right. This was in 1963. In 1964, Murray versus the United States. She tried to force the FCC to extend fairness, the fairness doctrine, which said that she wanted equal time on the radio because Christians were getting time on the radio. She was an atheist. So she said, well, we should have equal time on the TV and radio. Christians didn't say anything after that. She challenged the United States on that. 1970, Murray versus Nixon. She challenged the president. She challenged weekly religious services in the White House. Where were the Christians then? Where was the protests? Where was the voices? They could have said something. Nothing happened. O'Hare versus Payne, 1971. You're basically going to get a history lesson tonight. She challenged the weekly religion services in the White House. And then she challenged the open Bible readings of the astronauts. And these astronauts was on the Apollo 8. They were reading from the book of Genesis. And she said, you cannot do that because my tax dollars don't pay for you to read the Bible. O'Hare versus Cook. She challenged opening prayer at the city council in Austin, Texas. This is in 1977. You see, if we would have been a squeaky wheel like she would have been, maybe we wouldn't be where we are today. She was one person who did all this. And there's more. She the one that helped take God out of the schools. Nobody protested. She took God out of the entire public schools, one woman. She was an atheist. Her husband was an atheist, and her son grew up to be an atheist. So it's been passed down from generation to generation. Hatred of Christians. In 1978, she tried to get removed the Texas Constitution of provision requiring a belief in God's persons upholding a public office. So she didn't want nobody that was a deacon or a pastor to hold a public office in the city. In 1979, she challenged the use of national park facilities of the Pope, of the Roman Catholic, which is Roman Catholic, right, in Washington, D.C. Then she tried in 1980 to remove the nativity scene from the Capitol building in Austin, Texas. Where were the Christians? The nativity scene, the birth of Jesus. No one challenged her. No one. Christians still sleeping. This is going on throughout country in the 1970s while Christians were still sleeping. They were too comfortable. And they didn't do anything. So again, I tell you, here's a verse. Matthew 13, verses 25 and 26. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. But the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. What she did in that little time was change the way America was. Because if we had God in the schools, we probably wouldn't have school shootings. We probably wouldn't have drugs. But Christians have fallen asleep. And they don't care. They want to be comfortable. Well, now you're not comfortable. But here's the deal. There's more. December 24th, 1865, Pulaski, Tennessee. Kyklos, Kyklos, Kyklos. These former six officers of the Confederate Army formed what I know, because I've been living there, was called the KKK. They formed in 1865. In 1915, they was in Georgia. They formed another unit in Georgia. Where were the Christians then? They preached hate among African Americans. They burned down churches. Hung people. Where was the Christians? Still sleeping. Nothing happened. Innocent people being killed. Nothing happened. Christians just sleeping. That was in 1915. Now, 1865 to 1960, a Baptist preacher, which you all know, by the name of Martin Luther King, said enough is enough. When he marched on that bridge in Selma, he knew he was going to be met with obstruction. But he linked arms with light believers in all races, and he walked the bridge. There were casualties, but he knew he had to do it. Now Christians got so comfortable, we're scared to do anything. While a nation's being overran, we're scared to do anything. These guys used, they were Confederate soldiers, were former officers of the Confederate soldiers. So they used the Confederate flag as a way that it should not have been used. And that's why there's so much controversy. What if a Christian would have said, hey, man, wake up. These guys are doing something with our flag that we believe in, that our forefathers fought in this war, and they're taking it and doing something else with it. You see, I'm not proud of this history in America, but if we don't do something as Christians, it's going to get a whole lot worse. And our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids are going to pay the price for it because we're too scared to stand up and do something about it. Amen? Amen? You're still sleeping, right? So, here you have here, it says, put on ye, in verse 14 in Romans, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't do it for self, do it for Christ. Don't do it for self, do it for Christ. Right? That's what you got to do. Don't do it for self. Because when you do it for self, you get nothing out of it. Nothing. Let's go to 2 Kings 4:31. So Gehazi reports to Elijah, right? And the Shunammite woman, and the child has not awakened, right? So it says, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither no voice or no hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. Neither voice nor hearing is what I want you to get out of it. Neither voice, no hearing. The child has not awakened. Christians have not yet awakened in America today. They got no voice because no one wants to listen to us now. Christians used to be the majority, but now we are the minority. Because no one is listening to Christians anymore. And I'm going to give you proof that no one is listening to Christians anymore. I'm going to give you some more dates. Roe versus Wade. We all know what that is, right? Roe versus Wade. In 1973, abortion was legal in several states. By 2016, 91% of abortions were performed at 13 weeks or less. A poll taken in 2018 said 48% was for life, 48% was against life. So that means we have legal murderers here in America. I don't see any Christians at the abortion clinics. I don't see any Christian protesting. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. But we don't treat it like it's a reward. We treat it like it's just nothing else. Like, hey, someone said it best, Planned Parenthood is for people who didn't plan at all. And that's the truth. 600,000 babies are murdered a year. And I did some research last night and checked the statistics. I murder one person, I'll go to jail probably for life. But the doctors can do it, and they do thousands of them a year. And they get paid for it. Why is that? Christians are silent. That should be another nudge. I'm just going to nudge pastor. If I'm nudging too much, you probably think I'm beating him up. He's awake. All these are nudges. All these days are nudges for you to wake up and realize what's going on in America today. It has went on far too long, and we sit back like we're just comfortable in our own little shell, in our own little house, you know, making oil field money, and we're comfortable. There are people who need our help. The unborn child cannot defend itself. See, abortion was legal in other countries in 1930s and 31s, but here in America, in the 70s. And I got some more dates for you. Christians still sleeping on this. February 12, 2004. The first same-sex marriage in San Fran, California. That's 2004. Where are the Christians? Nobody in San Francisco protested. I checked. And I'm going to check again. But nobody in San Francisco protested. They were celebrating. They had the streets. They had the colors, the flags now. They celebrate. Where are the Christians? Still sleeping. We don't sleep so long that all these things didn't happen because we fell asleep at the wheel. Is it your fault? Is it mine? It is. We haven't protested enough. And when I say protest, I don't mean rioting and looting and shooting and stealing. I mean verses of scripture on a plaque. Something. Trust me, you will make some noise. Because those idiots took up our billboard several years ago because we put something up. So it's going to get people's attention. If you don't know what to say at all, quote a Bible verse. But protest. Do something. Because now they're telling you that you can't go to work. You can't make money. What are you going to do then? When your kids are starving next to you and saying, Daddy, are you going to feed us tonight? What's going to happen then? See, now what the government has done is take the pacifier out of Christians' mouth. And now Christians today are saying, hey, what happened? Well, you fell asleep at the wheel. When you fall asleep at the wheel of a car, what happens? The car crashes. Now you got to survey all the damages. And that's what we're doing today, surveying all the damages. The same-sex marriage, the murderers, the looters, the killers, the stealers, everybody. Now we're trying to survey the damages and say, hey, hold on, wait. It's too late for that. But there's more. While Christians were sleeping, mold wreaked havoc over the U.S. and she changed our worlds forever. But there is hope. But first, we got to do something. John 9:4. Please turn there. John 9:4 says, I must do the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. That means we got catching up to do. Let's say you oversleep for work. You got 10 minutes to get to work or 15 minutes to get to work. You got stuff you got to do to get to work on time. We got work to do, ladies and gentlemen. Do the work of he who sent you to preach the gospel to all the four corners of the earth, five corners or whatever it is. Preach the gospel to everyone. We're not doing that. We're not defending God's word anymore. We're just sitting back, relaxing, and sleeping. And while we're doing that, guess who's talking? You got some party who's talking, a political party, and I'm not going to get into politics. But just like they said, they want to rip the baby out of a womb. Just a few minutes. Just a few minutes for a birth. But if I ran into a lady that was pregnant and killed the baby, then it's murder. I don't know how that could be. But they can rip it part to part and it's, hey, it's okay, because that's what the mother wanted. Not so. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night coming where no man can work. So if we got work to do, ladies and gentlemen, we need to do it. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. We got to get back to it. Because if we don't, there's trouble on the horizon. There's a saying that says, those that will not return to the duties they have neglected cannot expect to return to the comforts they have lost. And that's a true statement. And I'm going to repeat it. Those that will not return to the duties they have neglected cannot return to the comforts that they have lost. We have been working in a free America. Now the government tells your employer, hey, you can't work. Your employer can't pay you, so what do you do? Lay you off. When he lays you off, what the government does? They decide how much you're going to get per month. Why? Because they want you to depend on them. They want to control you. And that is what's happening. Let someone tell me I can't go to work. I can't feed my family. And I have a big family. And I have a mortgage. So if I can't go to work, that means I can't feed my family. But the government says, hey, you can't work. How many businesses have been destroyed since COVID? How many? Christians still sleeping. Still sleeping. Some of you have felt the pacifier removed and it hurts. But it wakes the baby up when you move the pacifier. Because we've been so busy on the comforts of life that all this has happened. Then the enemy has set up mosques in our area. The babies are being murdered. Islam religion is rising. And we're worried about COVID-19, a cold, a flu. My brother just came home from the hospital with it. He had it. He felt bad for a couple days, and now he's well. A common cold, a bad cold. I'm not knocking the dangers of it, but what I'm saying to you is you've been fooled. Because you weren't awake. If you're not awake, you're not alert. And if you're not alert, then you don't know what's going on. And it's time for you to know what's going on. Psalm 90, verse 12, tells us, "So teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom." What is wisdom? Fearing God, the knowledge of God. Fearing God that if I do something wrong like that, God's going to punish me for it. But what if you let it go on and God knows about it that you let it go on? What can you do today? You can pray. You can come to this altar. You come to this altar here and get down on your face and pray that God forgives America. Pray that he forgives America, because if not, we're going to be in really bad shape. If you don't pray and get to this altar and say, "God, you know what? I fell asleep at the wheel as a Christian. God, you know what? Please, please forgive America. This is the best country. I've been to Iraq. They don't care about you over there. I've been there. Some of you have. This is the greatest nation, but it's about to have the greatest fall of all nations. Because we let, as Christians, we let them do what they want to do. And the Bible says, wake up. Wake up. Nudge, nudge. Hey, abortion is legal now. Nudge. Gay marriage is legal now. Nudge. You should have woke up by now. And the people who before us, generation, 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 let it go on to where it's hard for a Christian like me and you to try to make a living. And we're paying the price. And we are paying the price. What can I do? Go back to your first love. Go to 2 Chronicles 17, 3 through 4. It says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord of God his father, and walked in what? His what? Commandments. And not after the doings of Israel." Now this morning, Pastor preached what happened when an ungodly nation let things go on and on. And how it's our fault as Christians not to do anything about it. It's sad. Go back to your first love, Jesus Christ. Go back to when, it's kind of like doing a system restore on your computer. When was the last time your computer was acting right? Get a can of Act Right and go back to that moment to where you first met Christ. In its purest form. And get fired up about it. Get mad about it. It's okay to be mad. You can read Ecclesiastes. It's okay to be mad. There's a time for everything. There's a time to be sad. There's a time to be happy. Now in 2020, it's really time to be mad. And Christians need to get mad. We don't need no wimps. We need real men and women to go out and voice your opinions. What if it costs me my job? Then God will provide another one. I'm not saying go at your job and start a riot. Didn't say that. So don't quote me on that. But I did say speak up. Because there's so much wrong with this world. We let somebody in the White House light up the White House in gay colors. Where was the Christians at? It was a celebration. Where's the Christians at? Nowhere to be found. Hiding. Ashamed. But didn't speak up. There's going to come a time where you got to give an account. Checks and balances. You got to give an account to what you let go. to what you didn't speak up about. Checks and balances. Remember, we have a judgment too. Not just the unsaved, but the saved. Revelation 2:5. Please turn there. Because our nation is falling. You know, if we went back to the Constitution and read it, would it matter anymore? Would it be relevant? It says, remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. So if you don't repent, you move the power of the church or the candlestick out of the way, church has no power. They have no power whatsoever. And that is what has happened. Church is now just an entertainment center. Just another concert, if you ask me. And I know some of the people that go there, I'm like, hey, where you go to church here? I'll go to church here, man. It's live up there, man. Yeah, it's live, all right. Don't split hell wide open if you don't get right with Jesus, but it's live for you now. We don't understand. Your kids may not understand. But you need to understand the Bible, and the Bible doesn't lie. This book doesn't lie. So if you don't get back to what Jesus said to get back to, you're going to see worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. If you don't believe me, go to the academy and try to buy bullets today. People are preparing for a civil war. You go to the academy right now, try to buy bullets. Try. Go there tomorrow and see. Oh, we ought to stop. We ought to stop. We ought to stop. Because people are buying it for something. They're not just buying it to hoard it. They're buying it for something. So you better prepare and repent. Go to this altar and cry to God, forgive. Pray for your family. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the members of this church. Because it's going to come a day where you're not going to be able to. If you don't do it right now while the blood is running warm in your veins, I'm telling you, you're making a big mistake. Now, my grandma was a preacher, and I know that's kind of, but one thing she did say, even though she wasn't supposed to be a preacher, she said, while the blood is still running warm in your veins. And I remember that because it is true. You don't act now, you're never going to act on it. We've fallen. We must return to our simple faith in Jesus. Jesus is our contractor. If you remember Mo early on in the message a few minutes ago, Mo was a contractor. She was doing the bidding for the devil, as our pastor mentioned this morning. She's the one doing the bidding for the devil back then. She had lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit against Christians. She even tried to sue the president. She went as far as that. No one ever did that else? Not a Christian? No, they hide. We got to get back to our first love. One thing she did in Pennsylvania, I'm gonna go back to this because this is very important. When prayer was in school, and I did some research on it, they had to read at least 10 verses of scripture over the intercom at school, before school started. At least 10 verses, no matter which book. And the teachers picked, ironically, the KJV, King James Bible. That got removed pretty quick. But school was established where you had to give prayer before school. Do you know how many kids would probably be saved by now, teenagers saved by now? Do you know teenage pregnancy would probably be down by now if somebody had read the Bible to them in school? Do you know that some people would have probably not have taken guns to school? But do you care? No, because your kids are homeschooled. So do you really care about it? She took the Bible out of school. No wonder all these school shooting after school shooting, school rapes. Read the statistics about how many girls have been raped in school. Read them. Read them and weep. But we just let it go. Just falling asleep. Falling asleep. Falling asleep. Nodding off. Falling asleep. When you fall asleep at the wheel so much, it's going to be damages that you can't repair. Have you ever total lost your car or yourself? And the insurance company said, hey, this car cannot be repaired. This car cannot be repaired. It's a total loss. Do you know what America is for Christians right now? A total loss. Unless Jesus come down and do something amazing. Because right now we're at a total loss. We don't lost our voices in the schools, on the radio, in the city council where there used to be prayer. Can you imagine if every city council and cities had prayer before they had a city council meeting? But Satan has came in while we were sleeping. While we were sleeping, kind of like the TV show, while you were out, the church house was rearranged to where now you don't recognize it. Kind of like it do when they change somebody's color of the walls and then they come in, huh, I don't recognize my house. God don't recognize this church anymore. Some churches. So you see, if we don't go out and get busy, we don't vote this year, and we don't take it seriously, guess what's going to happen? God's going to look down on us in disappointment. And you can read the stories about what he did to his people Israel when he was disappointed with them. He took them through a time. Maybe we deserve Obama for 8 years. At first I liked the guy, then I seen what he was about, and I was like, don't know about that no more. Yeah. Right? I don't know about that no more. Some people may say the same thing about Trump. Ooh, did he really say that? Yes, he did. The thing of it is we think that it's going to fix itself, but it's not. It's not going to fix itself. America cannot fix itself on its own. I need Christians like you and me to pray for America. We need to be like Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Even when you don't want to, you're going to have to. It says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak of him anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing it, and I could not stay. Amen. We should be like that. Fire for God. We should be on fire for him. Saying that this is wrong. Saying that marriage is wrong. We too scared to say something about it. But think about it. The enemy has worn up on us. When the guy from Chick-fil-A said he didn't agree with it, some people tried to ban going there, and they tried to shred his business. Did any Christians come to the rescue of him? Did any Christians help him out? When you speak against that, there's a whole swarm of people coming towards you. And it should be that way when they speak about Christians. It should be a whole swarm of Christians coming to him, to boycott him, to protest against him. We should be at their doorstep, because that's what they're doing. But we're not. We're laid back. It is time to stop sleeping. If you don't stop sleeping, it's going to be it for you. You know, some people say, hey, you know what? I would like to die in my sleep. That's the best way to go. But this ain't the best way to go here. You don't want God to come and see you sleeping on watch. Like he told his disciples, can you watch with me just for a second? Can you just stay awake just for a second? We don't want to stay awake. We got sports to think about. We got to watch that TV show. We're not staying awake reading this. We're staying awake watching Netflix. Right? We're not staying awake to what's going on. While Christians are sitting at home watching more TV than the unsaved is out there working. And you keep sleeping. You keep sleeping. And before you know it, your house is overrun. Before you know it, your church is overrun. They told pastors, I don't know how many years ago, but it was recent, that if you refuse to marry somebody, man to man, woman to woman, they're going to lock your pastor up. That's what they said. Did anybody complain about that? Write the congressman, send an email. If that's all you can do is send an email, that's even better. Sign a petition. This lady, Mo, I'm going to go back to her. She had a rap sheet of what she did against Christians. She had a rap sheet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, almost 10 different things she did. 10 different lawsuits against Christians. She went to work for her contractor. She did the bidding for Christ. She was the head contractor. Have you even started remodeling for Christians? Have you even started? Because see, the contractor, they set things in motion and they get things done for somebody. Somebody who said, hey, do the work for me. Christ said, do the work for him. We're his contractor. We should be doing his work. Because people like Mo and people like Ray, people with the gay marriage and the abortion, they went to work. Roe versus Wade. They went to work. They did Satan's bidding for him. My last question is, what are you going to do for Christ? Because you sit around and do nothing for Christ, what you get in it is what you put out of it. If you don't put nothing in it, don't expect nothing out of it. But at the end, you got to give an account for your life. You got to give an account for what you let slide. You have to give an account for what you didn't do on the job. And as a contract, if you don't finish the job, Christ will find somebody else to finish it. So I challenge you to get to the altar. I challenge you to pray for your country, for your nation, for your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, or your future kids. Because in America, we don't sleep long enough. Amen?
Thank you, Brother Terry. Man, that's powerful. That's great. I was thinking as
he was preaching about some things here, and someone said years ago, all that has to be done for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. They don't have to come in with a great force and overwhelm us. For good people to do nothing. You know, I'm just one person. Madeline Murray O'Hare was just one person. She got busy. I think we as Christians have been preached to by weak-minded and weak-backboned preachers long enough that we're supposed to be patient. We're supposed to be gentle. We're supposed to be kind. And we're supposed to be long-suffering. And that is true. Those are characteristics of the Holy Spirit inside of you. But there comes a time when, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, you endure hardness and you go to battle. Jesus is coming to be a warrior king for us. He's coming back to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and no junk is going to pass. But as I stated this morning, the problem in America at the present time is that evil is on a rampage. It's not enough to win one or two people to Christ. We have Satan that is roused and has a foot in the door, and he is working overtime with his evil, wicked ways. Where who in their right mind would think that abortion was okay? Who in their right mind? Only with an evil heart can you even begin to think there's nothing wrong with that. Who in their right mind could see two men marrying, two women marrying, and think it's all right, there's nothing wrong with it? Even nature. Look at the animal kingdom. You look at dogs and cats, you look at deer and you look at bears and the whole nine. The animal kingdom even tells you a male and a female. We have been lulled to sleep. And I think the mentality is, but what can I do? One person voicing their opinion and voicing truth. Truth has fallen. We no longer want truth. I stated again, Brother Terry gave the reason why we are where we are is because Christians have been asleep. We thought somebody else would do it. Church work, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will pick up the paper. Somebody else will clean up the mess. Somebody else will turn out the light. Somebody else will lock the doors. We have that mentality. It permeates through the United States. But you need to pray hard because evil is on the rampage. Listen, our congressmen and senators, there are many of them that worship the devil. And there are many of them that are evil. When they open their mouth, I don't hear a different opinion. I hear evil coming forth. And I cannot live with evil. God is the only one that can, but God needs to do something. Oh, God. He split Israel. I told you this morning, the evil kingdom of Israel, the godly kingdom of Judah, they were one in the same nation, but the evil so permeated the northern regions that Ahab and Jezebel had a wonderful time there, and God still blessed Judah. Out of Judah came the very person of Jesus Christ. We're there in America. We are at irreconcilable differences because Christians have been asleep in the past and allowed it to go on. Now you can make a difference. Rise up. Get adamant. Get militant. Rise up. And use your voice. Use your phone. Use your email. Use anything possible. Get together. Form groups and encourage your friends to become part of groups to bombard the phone lines, the emails in Washington. Do something. Anything. Do it. Wake up. Wake up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. We realize that truly we do need to wake up in this hour. We truly do need to realize, Lord, that we've been asleep too long. We've been a dog that wouldn't bark. We've been a watchman that fell asleep on duty. And we've allowed evil to permeate America. Now we recognize it. Now we see it. It's not just another political party. It's not just others who are different opinions of ours that we could live with. Now, Lord, we see the evil coming out. We hear it with our voices. We see the laws that are passed that are directly opposed to you, and we're sick of it. We're tired of it. We recognize the danger. We've just now begun to awaken ourselves. Lord, help us. Rise up men who know what to do in this situation. Give them the fullness of your Spirit and guidance and direction. Help us to be courageous and help each other and help our government and help our nation to turn back to its roots of faith in you, trust in you. And God, I pray that you'd strengthen every preacher that he might preach the word with truth and not be afraid and not compromise. When we silence churches, we silence the very conscience of America. God help. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's